WMFO, Medford. Unlike milk, long-distance telephone calls, and library books, there is no due date, tolls, or expiration in the grand hour. Good morning. It's the 9th of January, 2019. I'm going to follow the format I have for the past couple of weeks because I have a serial episode going of The Adventures of Superman. It's titled, Is There Another Superman? And it's featuring Batman, because Batman never had his own original radio drama, but he was written in to a few shows of Superman. This would be episode 5, and I'll conclude the hour with episode 6. It originally ran somewhere between the 29th of January and the 14th of February. I'm uncertain of the exact air dates of these particular episodes, as it wasn't a daily. So without further ado, and I'm not going to say that again, go ahead and start The Adventures of Superman. My name's Arthur, and you're listening to The Grand Hour. Thanks.
The Super Delicious Cereal presents
The Adventures of Superman.
Faster than a speeding bullet. More powerful than a locomotive. Able to leap tall buildings at a single bound. Look, up in the sky. It's a bird. It's a plane. It's Superman.
Yes, it's Superman. And today his friends Batman and Robin meet a strange and mysterious figure. We'll join them in a moment. But right now, here is Dan McCullough.
You know, gang, it's a load of fun to read stories about buried treasure. And did you ever stop to think that there's treasure buried in every package of that super delicious whole wheat flake cereal, Kellogg's Pep? Yes, sir. A treasure of doggone good eating, plus an exciting prize, a bright-colored, smart-looking comic button to add to your collection. Why, it's a real thrill when Mom opens a new package of Pep, just to see which comic strip character that you'll get. Maybe a brand new one that you don't have yet, like Grinning Smitty, or silly-looking Smokey Stover, or handsome Superman himself. And if it's a duplicate, you know, like one you already have, why, that's even more fun, because then you can swap with your pals and still have a different button to wear pinned on your jacket or your dress or cap. And whichever button you get, it's bound to be a honey, done up in full comic strip colors, bright red and blue and black on a gleaming white background. A real eye-catcher. So how's about reminding Mom right now to get you some more Kellogg's Pep? That's the only way you can get these comic buttons, you know. You can't buy them anywhere, and you don't send in a single penny, not even a box top. They come only as exclusive prizes in packages of Pep. Just ask Mom for P-E-P, Pep, made by Kellogg's of Battle Creek. Now, The Adventures of Superman.
A series of amazing bank robberies committed by a mysterious individual apparently possessed of superhuman powers, who, strangely enough, forwards all the stolen money to charity, has posed an almost frightening problem to Superman and his friend, the famous Batman. It is Batman's belief that another Superman exists, another survivor of the planet Krypton. Superman himself, however, has an even more startling theory. He believes that because he was exposed to the nerve-shattering effects of atomic energy during his titanic battles with the Atom Man, that he is suffering from a form of amnesia, a loss of memory, and that he himself is committing the strange burglaries without having any knowledge of what he is doing. Yesterday, as you recall, he was about to give himself up to the police when Batman proposed a plan. In his guise of Bruce Wayne, he outlined the plan to Clark Kent, who, as we know, is Superman.
The way I figure it is like this, Kent. Now, according to this map, All the banks that were broken into are in towns that form a circle within a 50-mile radius of Metropolis.
Uh-huh.
Now, see, I've marked the circle off.
Yes, except that the circle isn't complete.
Right. There are two towns missing. Two towns that haven't been touched yet. Lordville and Somerset.
I see, and you think one of them is next on the list.
Right. Either Lordville or Somerset. Now, my idea is this. Tonight, Robin and I can watch the bank at Somerset, while you keep an eye on the one at Lordville.
As we continue now, it is long after midnight. Batman and Robin, hidden in a doorway opposite the Somerset Bank, were amazed to see a powerfully built man wearing a blue costume and red cape drop from the sky and approach the bank. Quickly, Robin tried to contact Superman and Lordville by walkie-talkie, but there was no response. Hearing Robin's voice, the man in the cape suddenly wheeled and faced them. In the moonlight, Batman and Robin could see he was masked. Squaring his broad shoulders, he started across the deserted street in their direction. Listen.
Uh-oh, here he comes, Batman.
Get set for trouble, boy.
Trouble is right. If he's really a Superman...
He must be. He dropped out of the sky.
Then we're dead ducks.
Maybe not. We can just keep him busy till our Superman gets here.
How's he gonna get here? He didn't answer our call.
Well, maybe he heard it but didn't bother to answer. This is it, Robin. Let's go to town.
I'm right with you, Batman.
Chin looking, fighting up.
Where's his nose?
Where's going, Robin?
Now you're going yourself. What's that haymaker?
Pardon me, stranger. Your chin's showing again.
And here's a lovely curtain for your eyes.
Very pretty, Robin.
Thanks. But he doesn't fall down. Look out, Batman. Don't let him grab you.
Boy, he's got me. He's as strong as a nut.
Batman, are you okay?
I guess so, but nobody ever played football with me like that before. Robin, he's coming for you.
Let go, you big man. Put me down or... Batman, he's got me.
Robin, are you hurt?
I'm okay, I guess. Christopher Columbus, he just wound up and threw me like a baseball.
Come on, up on your feet. That a boy. Oh, he's running away. Come on, show him after him.
Look at him go. We'll never catch him.
We've got to. Step on it.
I'm practically off the ground now.
Wait, Jupiter.
What are you slowing up for?
Stop. Look.
Jeepers, he's up in the air. He's flying.
Come on, Robin. I'm the double.
Where to now?
Back to the walkie-talkie. We've got to contact Superman and Lordville.
The same way we contacted him before?
Don't be funny. We've got to get him here in a hurry. He may still be able to catch that bruiser.
I don't see how.
Just leave it to him. Oh, here's the doorway we were in. Where'd you put the walkie-talkie?
Here it is.
Well, get on it fast.
Okay. Calling Superman. Calling Superman and Lordville. Come in, Superman. Come in.
I hope he answers this time. Any luck?
Not yet. Superman. Calling Superman. Batman and Robin calling Superman. Come in, please.
Oh, why doesn't he answer?
Maybe he's not there.
Of course he's there. Try it again.
Calling Superman. Calling Superman. Come in, Superman. Come in.
No soap, huh?
No soap.
Okay. Let's go.
Where to?
We'll drive over to Lordville. Get in. Well, at least we learned something. We learned there is another Superman.
Did we?
Who else could throw us around like paper bags and then fly away?
Well...
I know what you're thinking, but you're wrong. And I'll prove it as soon as we get to Lordville. Hang on now. I'm going to make time. See that sign, Robin?
Yep. We're in Lordville. There's the bank.
All right, brace yourself. Out we go.
Looks as deserted around here as it was in Somerset.
Well, it's almost 2 a.m. Now, where's Superman?
I don't see him.
He's probably around the side of the bank, or in back. Come on.
Wouldn't you think they'd have a watchman around here, or a policeman?
Oh, they rarely do in small towns like this, Robin. The constable makes the rounds every hour or so, if it isn't too cold out.
I still don't see Superman.
Honey, he must be around somewhere.
Where? Superman! Hey, Superman!
You see him?
No, but if he's here, how come he doesn't see us?
I don't know. Maybe he's behind the bank.
I've got a feeling...
Hey, wait. Here's the end of the building.
He's not back here.
Yeah, that's strange.
Superman! Where are you? No answer.
He's not here. I don't understand it. Something's wrong, Robin. Something's very wrong.
Puzzled and confused, Batman and Robin stand at the rear of the bank building, peering into the darkness. What has happened to Superman? We'll return in a moment to find out. But first, here again is your announcer.
It's a pretty sure thing, whenever you see several fellows and girls together nowadays, that they're talking about those nifty comic buttons all the gang's collecting from packages of Kellogg's Pep. Maybe they're comparing notes on how many buttons they've collected, or maybe trading duplicates with each other. Probably both, because swapping is one way that you're sure to get a different button to add to the others pinned on your jacket or your dress or cap. Now, here's how it works. Suppose you have the Harold Teen button, and you get another one when Mom opens a new package of Pep, and one of your pals has two Superman buttons. Well, you trade off, and you've got both a new, different comic button to add to your collection. Boy, that's swell fun, isn't it? And will you be proud someday when you can sport all 18 different buttons in the series? Boy, you'll really feel like strutting around. So hop to it, gang. Better ask Mom to get you some more of that super delicious whole wheat flake cereal, Kellogg's Pep. That's how you get these exclusive prizes, you know. You don't send in any money, not even a box stop. Fact is, you can't buy them anywhere. But you'll find a bright-colored, gleaming comic button in every package of P.E.P. Pep, made by Kellogg's, the greatest name in cereals. Now, back to the adventures of Superman.
Failing to find Superman at the bank he had presumably been guarding in the village of Lordville, Batman and Robin, unable to understand it, have returned to the deserted street in front of the darkened bank.
Not a sign of him. How do you add this up, Batman?
I can't make it add at all. Superman wouldn't leave a post he was got.
Looking for somebody?
What the...
Superman.
Well, what are you two doing here?
Huh?
Where have you been?
Right here.
Right here.
Well, except for the last minute or two. I caught a glimpse of something up in the sky, something I couldn't make out, and I went up to investigate.
You say the last minute or two?
Yes. See, there wasn't a sign of life for miles around, so I thought it was perfectly safe to have a look at whatever was up there. Funny thing, I lost it, though. Then I thought I saw it again, but I happened to look down, and I saw you two, so down I came to find out what was wrong. Why did you leave Somerset?
To get you. The other Superman showed up.
What?
That's right. At least we think it was another Superman.
Of course it was. It had to be if Superman was right here all the time.
Wait a minute. Tell me about this.
Well, just after 1 o'clock.
That's just a little less than an hour ago.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Robin and I were in a doorway across from the Somerset Bank.
I see.
All of a sudden, a man in a blue costume and a red cape dropped out of the sky and landed in front of the bank.
Out of the sky?
That's right.
He heard Robin calling you on the walkie-talkie and came for us. We tangled with him and got tossed around like a couple of beanbags. And then he ran away. Well, we started to chase him, but he leaped up into the air and he disappeared.
Well, why didn't you call me?
Well, I just told you. That's how we came to tangle with him. You see, he heard Robin trying to raise you.
Oh, now, wait a minute. That's impossible. Nobody called me.
Oh, no? I practically went hoarse calling you.
What?
When we first spotted the guy and then after he flew away.
You say this was about 1 o'clock?
Well, we'll call it 1:05.
1:05. Well, I was right here, and the walkie-talkie was on my back, just as it is now. Oh, now, wait a minute.
What?
Maybe it's out of order.
Well, we can find out easily enough.
All right, good idea.
Car's in the back of the car. You stay where you are.
Right.
I'll pull you from the car.
Okay. All right, come on, Robin. We'll move back a little more.
Okay.
That's better. All right, anytime you're ready, Batman.
I'm ready now.
Go ahead, then.
Calling Superman.
It worked.
Coming through?
Yes.
Well, that means it works.
Yes. That's exactly what it means. And since it does work, how could you have called me from Somerset without my hearing you? Unless...
Once again, the same frightening thought passes through Superman's troubled mind. The horrible suspicion that somehow he himself is responsible for all that has been going on. That in this case, he may have dozed off and in a state of stupor, flown to Somerset and attacked Batman and Robin. But then, why should he attack his friends? And why should he break into banks? Do you believe he's responsible? Frankly, we don't. Or do you believe there's another Superman?
another survivor of the planet Krypton. Well, one way or the other, you'll be amazed as the mystery unfolds. So don't fail to listen. This is the most puzzling and the most exciting of Superman's many adventures. So be sure to hear tomorrow's episode. Tune in, same time, same station, and follow the adventures of Superman.
Faster than a speeding bullet. More powerful than a locomotive. Able to leap tall buildings at a single bound. Look, up in the sky. It's a bird. It's a plane. It's Superman.
Fellows and girls, be sure to follow the adventures of Superman. Brought to you every day, Monday through Friday.
Well, it says brought to you every day, Monday through Friday, but that's not exactly what I've read. I don't know how many episodes there are as part of this. Is there another Superman plot? But that, this aired somewhere between the 29th of January and the 14th of February in 1946. I'll play episode 6. The end of the program today, in the last quarter of the grand hour. And in between, coming up next, it's an episode. On this one, too, I have mixed information. It's either episode 98 or episode 104. I'm not certain. It's hard with some of this old, antiquated medium to determine who's right and who's wrong. But this is Gunsmoke. It's titled What the Whiskey Drummer Heard. Its original air date was the 17th of April, 1954, starring William Conrad, produced and directed by Norman McDonough.
City and in the territory on West, there's just one way to handle the killers and the spoilers, and that's with a U.S. Marshal and the smell of gun smoke. Gun Smoke, starring William Conrad. Story of the violence that moved west with young America. The story of a man who moved with it. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal.
Mr. Dillon, would you mind stopping at the Alafraganza here for a minute?
Pretty early in the day, isn't it, Chester?
Oh, I don't want a drink.
No?
No, the barkeep's holding some money for me. I won a little last night, and I didn't want to put it back into the game.
Ah, but you want to get it now so you can put it back tonight, is that it?
Yes, sir, I'm afraid it is. Mike?
Come for your money, Chester?
Yep.
Hello there, Marshal Dillon.
How are you, Mike?
Well, here you are, Chester. 3, 4, 5, 6.
Thanks, Mike. Here. Buy yourself a drink.
Yeah, I sure will. See you tonight, Chester.
Sure.
Excuse me.
Yeah.
I heard the bartender call you Marshal Dillon.
Well, that's right.
I got something to tell you, Marshal.
Go ahead.
It's important.
Okay.
You're going to die, Marshal.
Who are you, mister?
Wilbur Hawkins. I'm a whiskey drummer.
First time I've been to Dodge, though. I worked around St. Louis till they sent me out here. Liked it better in St. Louis. There are lots of important people there.
Wait a minute. What are you talking about?
You're going to die, Marshal. I heard them saying so.
You heard who saying so?
Well, I don't know their names. It was dark, and they weren't there long. I didn't dare say anything, or they'd have known I was listening. And then, of course, I'd never heard of you till just now, that is.
You're not making much sense, mister.
Oh, it makes sense, all right. You see, I rode the Santa Fe out here from St. Louis, and one night I was all wrapped up trying to sleep. And these two men came by and stood there in the aisle. One gave the other $300. He said it was to kill Marshal Dillon. But he didn't say where. So, of course, I didn't know till just now.
Is that all you know about it, Mr. Hawkins?
Yeah, that's all, Marshal. I've done my duty now. I'll be going. Goodbye.
Well, what do you make of that, Mr. Dillon?
I don't know, Chester.
He acts a crazy like. I don't know whether to believe him or not.
No. But I suppose we'll find out soon enough.
Sound asleep already, and it's only just got dark out, Mr. Dillon.
Well, he's got nothing else to do till Tom Smith gets here.
Is that who you're holding him for?
I thought I told you, Chester.
Yeah, but Tom Smith's sheriff of Tascosa, ain't he?
Sure. Why?
I thought this fellow was wanted in Abilene.
No, they never heard of him in Abilene. That's why I wired Tom. Well, I'm going out back for a minute, Chester. I think I left my new bridle on the hitching rail out there.
Yes, sir. Well, I better get this place swept up a little, Mr. Dillon.
That's a good idea. There, Chester. Stay there.
Mr. Dillon, you've been shot.
Well, I was trying to play possum, Chester. I wanted to get him to come up where I could see him.
Oh.
But he's gone now. You've scared him away. He ran down the alley there.
Oh, he'll be lost in the crowd, but now... Oh, I'm sorry.
Well, it doesn't matter, Chester.
What?
He probably thinks I'm dead. No, I'll just go on playing possum.
How do you mean?
Come on, let's go up to the doc's office. I'll tell you there.
What'd you say that whiskey drummer's name is, Matt?
Wilbur Hawkins, Doc, but you never heard of him. This is his first time in Dodge.
Well, you think you'd have sense enough to have followed those two men to find out who they were?
Yeah, he was probably scared to death, though.
Yeah, and anyway, he kind of acts like he got hit by lightning somewhere. Even when he's standing still, he gives you the feeling that he's sort of walking sideways like a crab, if you know what I mean.
No, I don't, but I'd sure think twice before asking you to explain, Chester. Well, what is it you have in mind to do now, Matt?
Nothing, Doc.
Nothing?
No, Chester's going to do the work for a while. I'm just going to sit up here in your office and wait.
Wait for what?
Well, when Chester spreads the word around that I'm dead, whoever wants me that way is going to make his play. He'll come right out into the open and do whatever he's got planned. And then I'm going to give him a little surprise.
Oh, Mr. Dillon, that's a wonderful idea. Now, why didn't I think of that?
You better get going, Chester. I'm kind of anxious to meet this man. Him and his gunman.
Yes, sir. But only one thing. Ain't the boys likely to run a little wild when they hear you're not around to keep the lid on things?
Yeah, they might. But we'll have to take the chance.
Okay, sir. I'll get started.
Well, I kind of think Chester's right, Matt. There's a lot of men in Dodge who are just waiting for an excuse like this.
If it gets too bad, I'll just have to come to life again. Tell me something, Doc. What are you going to do to entertain me while I'm waiting up here, huh?
Say, I never thought about that. I suppose I got to feed you, too.
You'd be a mighty poor host if you didn't.
Well, how long do you figure on staying here, anyway?
I don't know, Doc, but I don't think it'll be very long. Well,
You want to play a little cribbage, or would you rather fix supper first?
Well, you're the first dead man I ever saw with an appetite. Well, I'll go get the cribbage board, but I'm making no promises about supper.
Doc, what time's it getting to be?
Let's see. It's nearly midnight now.
Yeah.
How long are you going to wait up?
Well, until something happens, I guess. Now, Chester will let me know.
Town seems quiet enough so far. Maybe nothing's going to happen.
They didn't try to kill me just for the fun of it, Doc.
No, I guess not, man.
Sir, Doc, after I get to the back room.
Maybe it's a patient.
I'll be holding a gun on him anyway.
I'm coming. Kitty, what are you doing here this time of night?
I might tell you if you ask me in, Doc.
Why, of course. Come in.
Where's the corpse, Doc?
What's that?
The body. I expected to find him all laid out.
Oh, you mean Matt.
You don't seem too upset about the corpse, Kitty.
Oh, all that talk didn't fool me. Just didn't make sense, Chester, running around telling everybody you've been killed.
No, why not?
I know Chester too well. If you were dead, he wouldn't be acting like that.
No, I guess he wouldn't. Where is he, anyway?
I haven't seen him for a couple of hours, but most everybody else believes it, Matt.
How they do, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Good.
I don't know what you're up to, but I figure someone's been trying to kill you. Is that right?
Yeah. Ambush, Kitty.
That's not the way he's telling it, Matt.
Not the way who's telling it?
I never saw him before, but there's a man standing at the bar of the Texas Trail bragging about outdrawing you.
You mean he's admitting he killed me?
I kind of thought you'd like to know.
That's him, Matt. This is what you've been waiting for.
Is there anybody with him, Kitty?
No. He's alone, as far as I know. Anyway, you better come to life again, Matt. There's going to be trouble if you don't.
There hasn't been any trouble yet, has there?
No. But they're working themselves up to it.
Yeah. Well, maybe I better not wait any longer. But I'd like to take that gunman's employer along with me, though.
You can find out who it is, Matt. Beat it out of him.
You better come with me, Kitty, so you can point this man out.
Yeah.
And you take cover in case he wants to fight.
Any man who's coward enough to shoot you in the dark isn't going to face you now, Matt.
Yeah, maybe not, Doc, but you never know.
Matt. Tall fellow in
the
black hat.
Okay, Kitty.
I was just waiting.
You wait outside while I see how he's going to behave.
Okay, Matt. Good luck.
Thanks. I'm Marshal Dillon, mister.
Oh.
Who are you?
I'm Tom Rogers. I thought you was dead, Marshal.
I changed my mind.
What do you want?
You've been bragging about shooting me.
Just talk, Marshal. I didn't mean nothing by it. I was just talking.
Mm-hmm. Kind of dangerous talk, don't you think?
Everybody said you was dead.
Well, I was waiting for you to come out of your hole, Rogers. You know, I don't like getting ambushed.
Marshal, I never even seen you before. I didn't ambush you.
All right, turn and face the bar while I take your gun. Go on.
I ain't gonna try nothing. You got the wrong man, Marshal.
Okay, you can turn around.
You can't arrest a man just for talking.
The jail's right across the street, Rogers. You lead the way.
Well, it was just talk, I tell you. You can't prove nothing.
Get going.
Well, I swear I didn't try to kill you, Marshal.
Straight ahead, Rogers. When we get there, you're going to do some more talking. I want to know who hired you.
Nobody hired me. I ain't even got a job.
Hey, Mr. Dillon, I want to tell... Mr. Dillon, what are you doing out here? Who's this fella?
His name's Rogers, Chester. He's been bragging about shooting me.
I was just having a little fun. I ain't no gunman.
It doesn't take much of a gunman to try to ambush a man.
But I didn't do it, Marshal. I heard him talking about it, and I don't know why I started saying I'd done
it. Mr. Dillon?
Yeah, what, Chester?
Mr. Dillon, I was on my way up to docks. I was coming to tell you something.
Well?
I've been over at the Alafraganza. I declare, I just don't understand it.
Well, say it, Chester.
Yes, sir. Well, there's a fellow over there, and he's been bragging about shooting you, too.
What?
Yes, sir, that's right. He's saying he outdrawed you and killed you. Of course, he's a little drunk.
Yeah. Yeah, of course he is. Oh, was Rogers here till I scared him sober?
Sure. Sure, I've been drinking, Marshal. I wouldn't have talked like that if I'd been plumb sober.
Here. Here's your gun, Rogers.
Wait. You turning me loose?
Like you say, Rogers, you're just a big talker.
What about the fellow over at the Alafraganza?
I don't even want to see him, Chester. He'll shut up fast enough when he hears I'm still around. And you go on back to the bar, Rogers. Unless the men laugh you out of town.
Yes, sir. I'm sure sorry I done it, Marshal.
All right, get going.
Sure, I'm going.
I don't know what's the matter with me, Chester, not figuring this. I might have known there'd be at least a couple of drunks wanting the reputation for having killed me.
Yes, sir. Doggone it. Now we're right back where we started from.
Yeah.
Hey, maybe that whiskey drummer was lying, too.
No, you're forgetting I got shot at, Chester. And there's a man somewhere in Dodge still waiting to kill me.
We will return for the second act of Gunsmoke in just a moment. But first, this Monday night on most of these same CBS radio stations, hear Ida Lupino and Edmund O'Brien in the stirring screenplay adaptation of The Star on the Lux Radio Theater. It's a hard-hitting drama about a has-been who attempts a comeback in a juvenile role. This will be Lux Radio Theater, drama at its best, Monday night at The Star's address. Now the second act of Gunsmoke. Wears a man down, living from day to day, waiting for a bullet in the back, and not knowing who to expect it from or when. Makes you feel kind of helpless. And before long, in spite of everything you try to do to stop it, you get kind of spooky. And you start shying at the most ordinary noise, especially if it comes from behind you. No way to stay alive. Because this is the one time you need to be as calm and clear as you've ever been in your life. Well, I had a week of it, and nothing happened. Until Chester came into the office one day with a telegram from Sheriff Tom Smith at Tuscosa.
I thought I'd better get right over here at this, Mr. Dillon. Might be important.
Now, you told me it was from Tom Smith, Chester.
Yes, sir, it is.
Well, if you know that, how come you don't know what the message is?
Oh, well, I didn't read it too close, Mr. Dillon. Here.
Thanks.
He's coming for his prisoner. He'll be here on the stage. Day after tomorrow, the way I figure it.
Now, anything else?
What?
Well, is that all it says here?
Yes, sir, that's all.
Well, there's just one thing you missed, Chester.
What's that?
The date it was sent. It got delayed somewhere along the line. Tom's due in today.
He is.
Yeah, what time is it?
About noon, I guess.
Well, that stage ought to be here right now. Come on, let's go see.
All right. Well, There it is, Mr. Dillon. Must have pulled in just a minute ago. I don't see no passengers, though.
Well, that may be because they haven't got out yet, Chester.
Oh, here they come. Ain't that Tom Smith?
Yeah, that's him.
Who's that other fella? He looks kind of familiar.
Now, that's Wilbur Hawkins, Chester, that little whiskey drummer.
Oh, yes. Well, now, I've been wondering where he's been.
Matt Dillon.
Hello, Tom.
Hey, how are you, Matt?
Hello, Chester.
Hello, Mr. Smith.
Well, I'm sure glad that trip's over. Next time, I'll come horseback.
Now, the stage is easier when you're taking a prisoner back, though.
Yeah, I guess you're right at that, Matt. And I hope you still got him. I'd hate to make this trip for nothing.
Oh, he's there. Anytime you want him.
Hey, where's Wilbur Hawkins going? Ain't he even going to say hello?
You know that little fellow?
Oh, yeah, we know him.
He told me he's staying at the Dodge House. Crazy talkingest man I ever run into. I told him, Hawkins, if you tried thinking it a little first, you might make a whole lot more sense a whole lot faster.
Well, he means well, Tom.
Well, maybe. But he tells some mighty strange stories.
Oh, what do you mean?
Well, of course it could be true, but he told me he heard a couple of men in a bar talking about me. He didn't know who they meant till I introduced myself on the stage and he recognized my name. Well, what are you looking like that for, man?
No. Go ahead, Tom. What did Hawkins hear?
Well, he said this one fellow was going to give the other fellow $300 to shoot me. Ain't that the darndest thing?
Yeah, that sure is.
I don't know, Matt. There's a lot of men that'd like to kill me, but I don't believe they'd be standing around talking about it that way. I kind of think he made it all up.
No, he didn't make it up, Tom. Not quite.
Huh? You know something about this? You mean someone is out to shoot me?
Yeah.
Who?
I'll tell you about it on the way over to the Dodge House. You wait here, Chester, just in case he gets past us.
All right, sir.
He ain't gonna get past us. What I can't figure, Matt, why Hawkins would want to kill you and me.
Now, that doesn't make much sense, Tom. Now, here it is.
Who is it?
It's Tom Smith and Matt Dillon, Hawkins.
What are you doing here?
We want to talk to you. Open up, Hawkins. Tom, get out of the way.
Yeah. How did you know he was going to shoot, Matt?
Well, I just sensed it, I guess. Look, I can kick that door open with one foot, and then you cover me. All right, you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay.
I kill you!
Kill him, Matt.
Well, I tried not to. Hawkins.
You hit me. Now, I'm going to die.
I had to shoot, Hawkins. But why did you want to kill us, Smith and me?
A lot of people want to hear them.
Nobody said nothing. You made all that up, Hawkins.
You took a shot at me last week, didn't you, Hawkins? Didn't you?
No, I can't kill anybody now.
Why? Why did you want to, Hawkins? Tell me.
I killed other men. Important men. I told them about it first. And then I killed them.
Why, Hawkins?
I don't know. I had to. I had to do it. No. Die.
He's dead, Tom.
Matt, what the devil was he talking about?
I don't know. But it doesn't matter much.
I don't understand it. I never saw him before yesterday.
Now, Hawkins was a murderer, Tom. The kind that doesn't need any particular reason. Nobody will ever know why he did what he did. Yeah, he was crazy, if you like.
Sure was crazy. You think he's done a lot of killing, Matt?
Yeah, probably. That's the most dangerous kind of man there is, Tom. A murderer with no reason at all. Innocent-looking little whiskey drummer.
Gunsmoke, under the direction of Norman McDonald, stars William Conrad as Matt Dillon, U.S. Marshal. Tonight's story was specially written for Gunsmoke by John Meston, with music composed and conducted by Rex Corey. Featured in the cast were Edgar Berrier, John Daner, and Vic Perrin. Harley Bear is Chester, Howard McNear is Doc, and Georgia Ellis is Kitty. Join us again next week as Matt Dillon, U.S. Marshal, fights to bring law and order out of the wild violence of the West in Gunsmoke. You've heard fictional crime cases many times, but there's nothing like the real thing. We're talking about Night Watch.
There you have it. The Whiskey Drummer. What the Whiskey Drummer heard. 17th of April, 1954 was the original air date. So John Daner is in that one, interestingly enough. Also, J.P. Kendall and Frontier Gentleman and Paladin and Have Gun Will Travel. And have fulfill my FCC obligation.
This is a firearm safety PSA. No matter how you feel about current gun laws, everybody should know the most critical rules about handling any firearm. Rule 0. All guns are always loaded. Rule 1. Never point a gun at anything you are not willing to destroy. Rule 2. Keep your finger off the trigger until your sights are on target and you have made the decision to shoot. Rule 3. Be sure of your target and what is beyond it. A public safety message from WMFO in Medford, Tufts Educational Radio.
Thank you, Digital George, Digital Henry. All right, as I indicated at the top of the hour, I'm going to book in Gunsmoke with another Adventures of Superman, continuing in the series Is There Another Superman, featuring Batman, because again, Batman did not have his own radio show, but he was featured in a few shows of The Adventures of Superman. My understanding is he was written in when... I forget who played Superman, but he wanted to take a break, even though Superman is featured in here, but mostly it's Clark Kent and Bruce Wayne, interestingly enough. So we'll continue on with that. My name's Arthur, and you're listening to The Grand Hour here on 91.5 FM WMFO and or WMFO.org.
Kellogg's Pep, the super delicious cereal, presents
The Adventures of Superman.
Faster than a speeding bullet, more powerful than a locomotive, able to leap tall buildings at a single bound. Look, up in the sky, it's a bird, it's a plane, it's Superman.
Yes, it's Superman, strange visitor from another planet who came to Earth with powers and abilities far beyond those of mortal men. Superman, defender of law and order, champion of equal rights, valiant, courageous fighter against the forces of hate and prejudice, who is today more puzzled than ever over the strange series of bank robberies. We'll join him in the little village of Lordville in just a moment. But right now, let's hear what Dan McCullough has in store for us.
You know, gang, if you should ever happen to be kind of blue, I'll bet you could cheer yourself up just by taking a look at some of those comic buttons you're collecting from packages of Kellogg's Pep. They're sure to hand you a laugh. Take K.O., for instance. His black derby hat, sizes too big for him, sits down over one eye in the silliest way. Why, he looks just like a tough little mug with a sense of humor. Then there's Smokey Stover. You know, the fellow who's always doing things backward? Why, he's doggone comical with his ear-to-ear grin and his fireman's hat sitting back on his head. And you'll get a kick out of the Superman button, too, because he reminds you of all the wonderful adventures he's had and all the rest of the 18 different buttons in the series. And you know what the best part is? These pictures are straight from the funny papers. They're true to life and done up in such bright colors, they show up like anything when you wear the buttons pinned on your jacket or your dress or cap. So get busy on your collection, gang. They're easy to get. You don't send in any money, not even a box stop. And you can't buy them anywhere. But there's one of these exclusive prizes in every package of that super delicious whole wheat flake cereal, Kellogg's Pep. Ask Mom to get you P-E-P, Pep, made by Kellogg's of Battle Creek. Now, the adventures of Superman.
Never before has Superman been up against so baffling a problem as the one facing him now. Is it possible, as a result of the strange after effects of being bombarded with atomic energy, that he has been breaking into banks, stealing money, and then donating it to charity without realizing what he is doing? Or, as his friend Batman thinks, is there another Superman, another individual possessed of superhuman powers who has been committing the act? In a desperate effort to solve the problem, Superman and Batman charted the course of the strange bank robberies and discovered that they followed a circular path through small towns in the vicinity of Metropolis. The next two towns on the arc of the circle were Lordville and Somerset. And while Superman set himself to watch the Lordville bank, Batman and Robin stationed themselves in Somerset. Late at night, a masked figure dropped out of the sky in Somerset, garbed in a blue costume and red cape. As Robin tried unsuccessfully to contact Superman by walkie-talkie radio, the man attacked our two friends, then leaped into the air and disappeared. Batman and Robin hurried to Lordville, where Superman said he had not received the SOS call on his walkie-talkie. A test, however, proved that the radio was in working order. And as we continue now, on the dark street in front of the Lordville Bank, Superman says...
Nothing wrong with the walkie-talkie, so why didn't I hear Robin calling me?
You're sure you were here all the time?
Every minute, Batman.
Gosh, I can't figure it out.
Neither can I. Unless...
Unless what?
Unless you were asleep when we tried to call you.
I wasn't.
Well, how do you know? You said you've often dropped off to sleep without warning since you were exposed to that atomic energy.
Well, yes, but I wasn't...
Well, that's what must have happened tonight. Like the other evening in your apartment, when you dozed off in your chair and slept for several hours.
Say, I'll bet that's what did happen.
No, I don't think so.
Say,
Robin,
wait a minute, wait. I just thought of something.
What?
Before you fell asleep the other evening, you complained of a headache. Remember?
Yes, that's right.
You have a headache tonight?
Come to think of it, I did have one. But I would have known if I'd been asleep.
Not necessarily. You might have been leaning against the bank or sitting down.
Well...
When you woke up, you were still in the same place and you didn't know you'd been sleeping.
I suppose that could be the answer.
Well, I'm sure of it.
But if it is, then I...
You what?
I must be the one who dropped out of the sky in Somerset an hour ago to rob the bank.
Jeepers!
You weren't.
How do you know?
I told you before. Even if you walked in your sleep...
You mean flu?
Or had amnesia, you wouldn't do anything wrong.
Well, if I didn't know what I was doing...
Well, you still wouldn't do anything wrong. There's another Superman. I've said so from the beginning.
Sorry, I can't believe it. Look, both of you. You saw whoever it was tonight. You were face to face with him. You must know if it was me or not.
We weren't face to face with him very long. He threw us around like a couple of footballs.
Yes, and he was wearing a mask. But I'm sure he wasn't you.
But he was about my size and build.
Yes.
And he was wearing a costume just like mine.
Yes.
And he got away by leaping up into the air and disappearing.
Yes, but I...
Wait a minute, I forgot. His voice. Was it my voice?
His voice? I don't seem to remember his voice.
No, neither do I. Say, come to think of it, he didn't say a word.
That's right.
He just kind of grunted now and then.
Oh.
I can't believe it was you, Superman. Only, of course, it does seem funny now.
Oh, stop it, Robin. If only I knew. I've got to know.
Look, chum, I've got an idea.
What is it?
Dr. Halper. He's chief at the Metropolis Hospital. He's a friend of mine. He's not only one of the greatest physicians in the world, but he worked with the atom bomb scientist on the after effects of radioactivity.
Oh?
Now, let's put the problem up to him.
Nothing would suit me better.
Fine. We'll go back to Metropolis right now. Oh, no, wait. We can't leave here till sunup.
Why not?
Well, just in case the other Superman might decide to take a crack at this bank.
I still can't believe there is another one.
I know there is. Oh, it's a town clock.
Yeah.
Well, let's get out of sight. Just in case our friend does show up. This
way. Okay.
Hiding in the dark shadows of the bank, our friends wait tensely but in vain. And when the first streaks of the rising sun lighten the sky above the sleeping village, they return to Metropolis. A short time later, in their guises of Clark Kent and Bruce Wayne, Superman and Batman are in the office of Dr. Alfred Halper, world-famous director of the Metropolis Hospital.
Just a moment, please, and Mr. Kent. Are you trying to tell me that you believe Superman is this mysterious bank robber?
Yes.
No. Which is it?
Kent has a crazy idea that he... I mean Superman. Well, go ahead and tell Dr. Halper about it, Kent.
Okay. I suppose you read about Superman's recent experience with the Atom Man, Doctor.
Of course. Amazing thing. Not for Superman. I shudder to think what might have happened to us all. But go on.
Well, a short while after that, Superman was trapped in a cyclotron where he was exposed to more atomic energy. I happen to know that since then he's been getting headaches and even dropping off to sleep at odd times.
Yes. How do you know that?
I know. Take my word for it. Now, it's my theory that during these, well, these sleeping spells, when he doesn't know what he's doing, he breaks into banks. And when he wakes up, he has no recollection of what he did.
Oh, you're all wet.
Wait a minute, Bruce. Why do you say that, Mr. Kent?
Well, because several people saw the man leap into the air and disappear. Only Superman can do that. And only he can bend solid steel bars and rip open heavy barred doors and vaults.
Well, the other Superman can evidently do it, too.
I just don't believe there is another, Bruce.
Oh, there must be.
Just a moment, please. I don't know if Bruce's theory is correct, but I'm sure that yours is incorrect, Mr. Kent.
Oh, why?
For two reasons. In the first place, I don't believe that Superman could have these periods of forgetfulness, which we call amnesia.
Neither do I.
But he was exposed to the terrible power of atomic energy, Doctor. Couldn't that have brought it on?
Not with Superman. But even if it were possible, which I don't believe, he certainly wouldn't commit any criminal act.
There, you hear that, Kent?
Yes, I hear it, but I'd like to know why Dr. Halper is so certain.
Because Superman, as everyone knows, is thoroughly honest and upright. He fights for law and order.
Well, that's true, but
such a person wouldn't commit a dishonest act, even if he'd been hypnotized. Now, that's a proven medical fact.
But he gives all the stolen money to charity.
Stealing is an antisocial act, a crime, regardless of what's done with the stolen goods. Robin Hood stole from the rich to help the poor, but he was still a thief. Isn't that right?
Right.
Of course.
That's why I say Superman couldn't have done it. He works for the law and for society, not against it.
Well, are you satisfied, Kent?
Yes, and I'm relieved, too.
Imagine thinking Superman could turn bank robber. Why, it's enough to make you lose faith in all humanity. I can assure you it's impossible.
Well, that's wonderful. See, I don't know how to tell you how grateful I am, Doctor.
I'm glad I could be of service. Incidentally, Bruce's theory that there may be another Superman is very interesting.
We'll have more to tell you on that later, I hope. Well, we've got to rush now. Many thanks, Doc. All right, come on, Kent.
All right, thanks again, Dr. Halper.
You're quite welcome.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Well, you won't have to give yourself up to the police after all, Kent.
Oh, it certainly takes a load off my mind, I must say. But somehow I just can't believe it.
Oh, now, wait a minute. Halper knows this stuff. And you said you did believe.
Oh, I believe. I'm not the bank robber, Bruce.
Well, then what...
I just can't believe there's another Superman.
Oh, you're being stubborn, Kent.
No, I'm not. It's...
Only Superman could do the things this fellow's been doing.
I realize it looks that way, but... Here, wait, I'll open the door.
Oh, thanks. What did you start to say?
Well, if there is another Superman, why haven't we heard of him before? Where's he been all these years?
I've been wondering about that, too. But we'll find out when we catch him.
Something strange about this. Very strange. Bruce, did you hear that?
Yes.
Come on, I want to see that paper.
Breaking into a run, Clark Kent and Bruce Wayne make for the newsboy who is shouting that the mysterious bank robber has been identified. Who is he? We'll return in a moment for the exciting climax of today's episode. But first, here again is your announcer.
You know, gang, there are just as many girls who like to eat Kellogg's Pep for breakfast as there are fellows. And there are just as many girls collecting those swell comic buttons Pep is putting out, too. Why, I see dresses and jackets and caps sporting comic buttons all the time. And, you know, sometimes I suspect that it's pretty much a matter of pride with the fellas not to let the girls get ahead of them. You see, in the first place, these comic buttons are mighty easy to look at. So all the gang wants to collect all 18 buttons in the series. Actual true-to-life pictures of your favorite comic strip characters, done up in bright red and blue and black on a gleaming white background. Mighty snappy looking. Then there's the fun in swapping duplicates with your pals. Boy, that's something no fellow or girl wants to miss. And you don't have to, because these exciting comic buttons are easy to collect. You don't send in a single penny, not even a box stop. And you can't buy them anywhere. All you do is to ask Mom to get you plenty of that super delicious whole wheat flake cereal, Kellogg's Pep. Inside every package, there's your exciting prize. So get your comic buttons, gang, from P-E-P, Pep, made by Kellogg's, the greatest name in cereals. Now, back to the adventures of Superman.
As they left the Metropolis Hospital, Clark Kent and Bruce Wayne, who was really the famous Batman, heard a newsboy shouting that the mysterious bank robber had been identified. As we continue now, Kent has purchased a paper, and he and Wayne have moved away from the excited crowd around the newsboy.
Who is it, Kent?
Listen to this, Bruce. A mysterious bank robber who has been terrorizing communities in the vicinity of Metropolis by his superhuman feats of strength and his ability to fly has at last been identified by Inspector William Henderson of the Metropolis Police Department.
Oh, never mind all that, Kent. Go on.
All right, wait a minute. Let's see. Here. Early this morning, Henderson summoned reporters to his office and announced that he had just discovered evidence which identified the bank burglar. Henderson said that he was shocked to have to reveal that the thief is...
Is who, Kent? It's who?
Superman.
Speechless, Bruce Wayne snatches the paper from Clark Kent's hands and reads Inspector Henderson's startling statement again. A statement to the effect that newly discovered evidence has proven that the amazing bank robber is Superman, the Man of Steel. How can this be after what Dr. Halpert has just said? And what is this new evidence? Tomorrow's episode is tense and exciting, fellows and girls, so don't miss it. Tune in, same time, same station, for the adventures of Superman.
Faster than a speeding bullet. More powerful than a locomotive. Able to leap tall buildings at a single bound. Look, up in the sky. It's a bird. It's a plane. It's Superman.
Fellows and girls, be sure to follow the adventures of Superman. Brought to you every day, Monday through Friday, same time, same station, by the grand old Kellogg Company of Battle Creek. Superman is also a copyrighted feature appearing in Superman DC publications. Say, gang, get a load of this. Kellogg's Variety is back. That's the famous variety carton of six swell Kellogg cereals in 10 separate packages. Makes breakfast more fun than a picnic. With Kellogg's Variety on the table, you can choose among Kellogg's Rice Krispies, Pep, Corn Flakes, Shredded Wheat Crumbles, and 40% Bran Flakes. Simply help yourself to your favorite. Each box holds a fresh, crisp, heaping portion. So ask Mom to get Kellogg's Variety right away. And be sure to be with us tomorrow for the thrilling adventures of Superman. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.
Okay, that was The Adventures of Superman. Is There Another Superman? Episode 6, featuring Batman. Again, Batman never had his own radio show, so he's written in to Superman's show. That aired somewhere between the 29th of January and the 14th of February, 1946. It was a serial, so I don't have the exact day that that was aired. Arthur, you've been listening to the Grand Hour here on WMFO, Medford. Marco is not in. Saturday. Thanks for listening.